Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Get in, loser! Mean Girls is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Join Katie Heron as she meets the plastics and Tina Fey's new twist on the modern classic. Get ready for more of the rumors, backstabbing, and jokes you loved from the original movie with some fetch surprises. Rated PG-13. Wear pink and head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you are having a good week so far. Today on the podcast, got the one and only Ollie Norton. Ollie is a good friend of mine. Obviously, we've just released a record together called Place I Belong with his Unreal vocals on. The video is out now as well, so you can go check that out. Yeah, he's an amazing dude. Great singer, great songwriter. Check him out on Spotify or Apple Music, whatever you want to kind of listen on. Go follow him, Ollie Norton Music. And yeah, we had a great conversation. It's just a pretty much two mates having a good catch up, really. Hope you enjoy it. Without further ado, Ollie Norton. And we are live. Mr. Ollie Norton, how's it going, sir?
Very well, mate. How you doing?
Pretty good. It's Monday morning, and I've got that Monday morning feeling. I don't know about you.
I feel your pain. But the sun is shining,
The sun is shining, and it's beautiful outside. And I'm excited to see what this week brings. but yeah, how's things, man? How's life?
Yeah, good. It kind of feels like everything's slowly getting back to normal, a bit of normality, you know, but yeah, no, things are good.
Yeah, I feel like it's getting back to normal, but also we're still so far away from being back to normal. It's kind of like that, like teasing you with the tip. Mm. It's just about to come, but yeah. Like
exactly.
Not getting the full girth.
No. far from the full girth. But we can hope.
Yeah, man.
We can hope. I'm feeling optimistic today. Mm. I feel like each day is a little bit different. Like one day I'm very optimistic and positive about it, and then the next it's like, oh my god, this is
fucking downer.
Yeah, we're doomed basically. But I'm feeling optimistic today.
Have you been writing much?
Yeah, it comes in spurts. Yeah. So like when the lockdown first started, I was being really creative and writing a lot. I think it was just the freedom of everything slowing down, you know, like everyone was in the same boat.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, I found that quite freeing really. So I was writing a hell of a lot at the start and then it kind of slowly dropped off. I think that's when I was at my most, I was in a quite a weird place in the lockdown when I wasn't really writing. Yeah. I think that was probably what was helping me through it, like most creatives, I guess. But yeah, I've got loads of songs ready. It's just finishing them, as people know. But
Did the laptop kind of come out good with all the records that you lost?
Oh yeah, of course, because my hard drive broke.
Yeah, it's like the worst nightmare ever.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But for me, because I released that kind of EP of the lost demo tapes.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was either the end of last year or the start of this year. I can't really remember. But it was good for me to just get them song. It was quite freeing, really. I knew I wasn't going to get the projects back.
Yeah. So what did you do? Did you just release them?
I had bounces.
Okay.
Of each of the tracks. And most of them were made in a day. I was in the mindset of just wanting to get things out. So I was just writing and producing the song in a day. And at the end, luckily, that it doesn't normally happen for me like that as well. So it's quite lucky that they sounded how they did. And then just sent them to my mate to get them mastered.
Yeah.
And they turned out all right. I think I'm getting to the point now where I've sat on them for a bit and I listen to them. There's a few things where I'm like, oh, change that, you know. But I like what they are, you know. So I'm glad they come out. But
I think at the end of the day, it's just releasing music is strange, isn't it? And it might be different for you because you're kind of like singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
Where you can like really get your story across to what you're trying to get out, or whether it's your feelings or something like that. But it's like, it's almost like a timestamp of where you were at in your life.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's like, I wish we could do that with dance music because I don't feel like I can really. No. I feel like your sound changes. And like evolves and kind of things like that. But I think like the great thing about being able to write songs is you're like, you can just talk about whatever you're feeling. Do you write about what you're feeling, or do you write about shit that are just random shit?
Most of the time it is, even if it's like subliminal, like things that are in the back of my head, like a week or days down the line or something like that, I'll think, ah, oh, that means that, you know, or like it always kind of comes full circle, you know. But yeah, with house music, I guess it's just not as blatant.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of emotion in the music and stuff. It's just not like words, is it? It's not like, but
I think it's how you also, like, when you're writing it, it's like, what are you writing it for? Like, what does the memory, like, what does this kind of sound remind you of, and like, what are you kind of trying to capture out of it? Are you writing this record for someone? Are you doing, if you know what I mean, like, no one needs to know that it's written for someone, but it's kind of like, are you writing it for a moment you had with someone, or are you writing it for, like, I don't know, it's very different to, like, I think it is very different to singer-songwriting. I just did like a bunch of days in the studio in London with some people, and it was just like with a load of singer-songwriters, and they're just, it's just so different how you kind of write a pop song compared to a dance record. And when you're in with like pop writers and you're trying to write a dance record that's like, doesn't sound cheesy and doesn't sound like you're trying to be really commercial and you're trying to sell records, but like trying to keep it cool and simple. It's like, well, there's quite a lot of complexity in pop music because it's just very structural, it's very formulaic. You kind of have to stick by it. Where dance music is very, well, even like with Place I Belong, like there isn't really any structure to the vocals. It's just like, it's just a verse, isn't it, really? Or a chorus or whatever you want to call it.
I think the whole kind of arrangement of that track's pretty crazy as well. Just the breakdown and then the new synths come in and stuff like that. It's just a bit all over. I think that's why it works. It's just a bit all, it's like a journey, isn't it?
Yeah. Can you remember when we wrote that? I remember the day pretty clearly, because we only did it in a day, didn't we?
Yeah, it was quick. Yeah, I just couldn't get over, because we had the discussion of like, when did we write it? Remember when you were going through obviously your folders and like going through 2020, going through 2019. It was like, surely it can't be 2018. And that's what it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We wrote it at the end of, was it summer?
No, it was the end of 2018.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm pretty sure it was. Because then I went back to the project January 2019 and finished it.
Right
before the tour, I think. But no, I think I finished it before then.
Right.
But I remember I'd just come back from a tour.
Yeah.
And I think we actually like vibed an idea like beforehand, because we had the record 1990, didn't didn't we?
Yeah. I remember because you sent me the song for that one.
Yeah.
And I remember sending you a little clip. And I think, oh, like, let's get in the studio. Get into the studio after that. And then, yeah, Place I Belong come, I think.
Yeah, kind of just, kind of was just easy, wasn't it?
Mm,
we've got a lot of music together, man.
Yeah, yeah, we need to.
Would you, are you planning on like doing an album or anything, or does an album appeal to you?
It does. And I think definitely after just kind of, like with the last little project I did, just getting songs and piecing them together and seeing how they, you know, how you can create a full project. But I think at the moment, I'm still in the, I'm always making different kinds of music and still not really fully knowing where I'm at musically. So I think I'm just going to release songs and, yeah, just see what catches on and see what I fall in love with and what I want to do, I guess. And being involved with this song with you as well has kind of taught me a lot about, I don't know, preparing, I guess. I kind of want to, make sure I'm doing it right rather than just putting a song out and seeing what happens. I think I'm at a point now where I will kind of, you know.
I think there's like two sides of it, isn't it? Because there's something so artistic about just like just putting it out to the world and just letting the world have it. But then there kind of comes a point where it's like the business side of it where you're like, well, now it actually needs to like make money, and I want as many people as possible to hear this record and kind of move forward with that. And I think it's a, like a horrible, it is shit because you're like, when you love a record and you don't get anyone to buy it or stream it or watch it on YouTube or whatever it is, like it's really tough to kind of like win that battle over where you're like, I want people to listen to this. I need to make money out of this record. But then there's also that, like, does the artist actually care, the artist in you actually care, or is it just the businessman inside you that kind of doesn't want to, that does care? And it's that battle of just like, who wins, the artist or the businessman?
Yeah,
because I know I spoke to you for loads, and like when you hadn't released music, and it was kind of like that kind of scary thought of releasing music, of like once it's out, it's out.
Yeah. It's funny because I've kind of gone through different stages of that. So before I released the song, it was like you said, I was like, you know, freaking out, it's going to be out, and then I released that song, and then after that, I was like, oh my God, I just want to get anything out, all my demos, get them out, you know. I just wanted to release all my music, but yeah, it comes in stages, I guess, of confidence and loving songs. Because like with our song, you're sat on a song for so long.
Yeah.
And
you go through phases, don't you? Like where I don't know about you, but I've like got records that got my release in June. Like I went through so much where I'm like, is this too commercial? But I absolutely love this record. Is this like, is it right for me to put out? And it's like that constant like battle with, do I love it? Yes, one day I love it, the next day I don't like it. And I think it's like, do you get that with your records?
Yeah, all the time. And I think definitely lyrically for me as well.
Yeah,
I think like 1 minute when I'm writing a song, I think, and I'll think I love it, and then a few weeks down the line, I'm like, oh nah, I can't listen to myself say that anymore. Like, you know, it's like one of them ones. But yeah, no, I feel your pain. I think it's just as an artist, any creative, everyone just goes through that battle, don't they? Just 1 minute loving it and then not.
But yeah, just wanting to quit. It's the highs and lows of being an artist, right? Just,
yeah.
Oh man, so many times you just wake up and you're like, what the fuck am I doing with my life?
That is it.
How do you find it like working like a day job and also being an artist as well, and trying to kind of have that balance of like being doing writing and still like having to pay bills and shit like that?
Yeah, not great, really. Obviously, I work away quite a lot as well. So it's like 5 days out of the studio. And then when I get back on a Friday, as much as I want to be in the studio, now the sun's shining and people are tending to go to the pub and stuff like that. So, it's just one of them. You've got to try and find the times when you can. I think I'm going to go part-time in the next few months. Mm. Just kind of focus on getting some songs ready. Because I haven't got any music ready to release afterwards.
But. Do you write on the road?
I can't. Whatever I write on headphones, and I think it's amazing. I get back in the studio and I think, like, it's crazy, you know, how much different it sounds.
Yeah, I'm the same.
I try to.
I can write, like, edits on the road. Like, if I'm going to, like, a club and I'm like, okay, I want to do an edit of, I don't know, whatever record. I can do that. But starting a whole record and finishing it, I'm just like, always sounds terrible. It's always like forced.
Are there any songs that you've released that you like started in a hotel? You know, like any of your, or like on the road, you know, like.
So my remix of Percolator, Green Velvet Percolator, I wrote that on a plane.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
But it's like, it's a pretty simple record.
Yeah.
Like the remix is really simple. I've done quite a lot of edits on the plane that like are in my tracks, in my sets. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think there's like an original record that I've... I know that my record Mukaj, or it's not Mukaj, it's Muchai, but everyone would call it Mukaj. I wrote that on a train going to a festival. Actually, my Adam Bay remix of Your Mind, I wrote on a train as well.
Why?
But I don't know. I did like three versions of that, so I don't know if I actually wrote that version on a train.
Yeah.
Because I did like a drum and bass version.
It started on the move.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I think it's like nice to do a bit of idea, kind of chucking a few ideas together. But I don't know. I just find planes and trains and cars just not very creative spaces, really.
You
can't really get into it.
It's a nice idea, isn't it?
Oh, it's a lovely idea. Like, imagine, like, flying over wherever and you're, like, writing a record and you can, like, look out the window. Not that I'm a window man. I like the aisle side. But you can just, like, just write records. It'd be great. But I don't know. I think you need to be in like a vibe to write a record. I don't know, I could be wrong. I know there's like Ed Sheeran just like writes albums on tour buses and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's funny. I watched the video of him and Benny
Blanco.
That's it, yeah. That Justin Bieber song they wrote on the tour bus. Yeah.
Have you seen the Billie Eilish documentary yet?
No, I still need to watch it.
Oh man, it's great. I cried like four times.
I was going to say you were pretty moved by it, weren't you?
Yeah.
Well, I think, I probably will as well. I've seen a few clips, but it's crazy how, you know, anyone has to go through all that so young. And she's, well, mega talented as well.
Yeah, they recorded the Bond theme in a bus, which is wild, like right after she did a show. And you're just like, Jesus Christ, like, it's just another life. I think there's so much pressure, like, There's barely any pressure on our careers, right? Like, the only pressure we do is... The only pressure that's on our careers is what we put on ourselves. Which is pretty hard, but imagine being like that. You're literally paying so many people's wages when you're at that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Couldn't imagine what it's like, especially for like an 18-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. God. I didn't even think I was in 18.
But exactly.
I know it wasn't that.
No. Yeah. Trying to pull birds in the club. And failing miserably.
That's it.
Mighty Vision. That's what it was, mate.
Vision.
Were you working behind the bar then?
I don't know. Probably. I think that's the first thing I did when I left school was like work in bars and clubs and stuff like that.
So for anybody listening, Vision is a nightclub in Western Supermare. That's like, it's no longer, thank God. But it was pretty awful.
It was. But it was. I was telling you the story the other day, wasn't I?
Where we met. DJ,
yeah. I don't think we actually spoke.
Oh, didn't we?
It was the first DJ set I'd ever did. And I was kind of freaking out anyway. And I think this was the kind of like big booty year for you. You know, I think that song had just come out.
2014.
Yeah, you would have been around then, I think. Maybe a few years after that. I can't think. I'm terrible with times. Okay. But yeah, anyway, I'm kind of playing and thinking, right, I'm getting into it now. Nerves are set. And then you just kind of walk in. I was just like, it was mad.
I don't know why I was there. Was it because it was Jason?
Yeah, Jason played as well.
Jason played.
Yeah.
I tried to avoid that place like the plague. But kind of Jason always, like, anybody not that doesn't know Jason is also a good mate of mine and Ollie's from, like, local area. But, yeah, he fucking loved that place.
It was like Marmite.
He literally was like resident the whole time it was open. And then he got sacked because he wouldn't play grime.
Yeah, it was very, he was on you about what music you were playing at the right times. I'm surprised he did it. He was doing house nights and stuff like that because he was very like R&B.
Yeah.
Pop, you know, like.
Western's not really at the forefront of club music as well, is it? Let's be honest. It's an interesting place for dance. Well, I guess I think the thing is back in the day, it used to be like all hard house. I don't know if you know that, but like there was literally just so many hard house raves in Western.
Really?
Because the record shop that I used to buy my records from, a place called Spin Central. Can you remember that? I don't know if you were about then, but there used to be a record shop called Spin Central, and that's where I met Sam Devine at. She used to sell vinyl there, and I used to buy my records from her. But the other guys, Kickback, Gary, his name was, and I can't remember the other guy. They were all like proper hard house lads. And there'd be so many hard house events in Western, and then like drum and bass events. Southwest just like of the UK just love like really hard music.
Yeah,
but really,
what venues? What?
I don't know.
Events.
I don't know where they were.
Imagine like a hard house event at the Playhouse. Like you just kind of.
Yeah, they'd always just like pop up in like little pubs and stuff.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, nobody wants to go to a hard house event apart from about 200 people, but
yeah.
But then again, the thing is, I guess you're so close to Bristol is that most people just rave in Bristol.
Yeah. It's funny that like, you know, Bristol is so like iconic for that and so close. You'd think it would kind of branch out a little bit.
Do you think though, like actually many people that say they're from Bristol are actually from Bristol?
Yeah, I think I'm one of them people.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Because it's like I don't know, like Porter's Head. People say they're from Bristol, but they were from Porter's Head.
Yeah.
Which isn't Bristol.
Right on the tin.
Yeah. I don't know about Massive Attack if they were actually from Bristol. I think they were. I don't know. But it's just an iconic city, isn't it, I guess? It's like, it's the only big city in the Southwest that's got a culture scene, really. Yeah. Bath is pretty weak.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it? Completely.
It's just like, yeah, Bath is strange because the nightlife is awful.
Yeah, they don't have many places open past, I think it's like 11 o'clock or midnight or something. I could be wrong. I've only been at like a couple of times, but when I did go, everyone was just kind of like, yeah, you'll want to be getting the last train home because... It's still, you know, it all finishes, but
I wonder what that's about. So weird. So weird. What's the plan for the rest of the year, man?
I think I'm just gonna bask in the place I belong glory for as long as I can. Be scared to release another song.
Where are we at? We're at 90,000 streams, I think. We should be at 100 by the end of today.
Yeah, that's just mental for me. That's like quadrupled any song I've had in a week. So
yeah, but I want your song. I want your other songs to do well, man, because I don't want "Place I Belong" to be like at the top of your Spotify for the rest of, like,
my life.
Or for the rest of the year. I want like your records to kind of like push through and like push it out of the way.
Yeah, same.
Big time. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think I'm feeling good about the music I'm writing at the moment. It's just I'm terrible with finishing music.
Yeah.
So I just need to, you know, get a few more songs finished and just, yeah, come back a little bit differently, I think. A bit more...
What do you want to do? What's the, like, the Ollie Norton vision? Where would you want to be? What would you want to be doing? What type of stuff? Like, who would you want to be working with, et cetera, et cetera?
Who would I want to be working with? I kind of want to be an artist that does just work in all kind of... I want to have my, you know, writing the music I do now, the kind of... Well, I never know how to describe it, but the poppy, hip-hoppy, you know.
Singer-songwriter, isn't it?
Singer-songwriter stuff, yeah.
The thing is, I wouldn't say your voice is like classic singer-songwriter, but you kind of fit in that genre.
Yeah. I think where I listen to so much music and I'm so heavily influenced by whatever I'm listening to at that time, I'll be like, oh my God, that's what I want to do. Like everyone does, you know.
What are you listening to at the moment?
What am I listening to? Have you heard of Brockhampton?
Yeah.
They've just released a new album. Yeah, I've been listening to that on repeat quite a lot. What else?
Have you heard the new London Grammar record?
I was going to mention that. I haven't listened to it yet, but I've seen it. You're a big fan, aren't you?
Dude, I'm a big fan of what they could literally just put out a silent track and I'd still be a big fan.
Yeah,
but it's
yeah.
like, just listen to that intro track as loud as you possibly can.
Right.
It's un-fucking believable.
I can imagine. She is mesmerizing. She's like a voice.
Yeah, man. And they've got like an amazing string orchestra on the like intro and you're like, oh wow, they've like upped. Like the thing I like about what they've done is like each album is like, I wouldn't necessarily say better.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say there's one album that's better than the other, but it's like definitely progressed, which is nice because considering their sound is quite like chilled and laid back, they are progressing, but it's not like so far away from what they started out as, which I really like.
Yeah, I think that's the problem a lot of artists have, isn't it? Like with their diehard fans,
yeah.
When they come away from their like beginning sound. But yeah, no, I'll have to check it out. I've always been a fan of their music and the dance remixes of their songs.
Yeah, still fucking haven't done one.
Yeah, that's surprising because you're a big fan.
Well, I did do one, and then the record I did one years ago for Oh Man, and. The label didn't want to put it out, so fuckers. Motherfuckers. I want to do one, but I'm kind of also at the point where it's like, I just love them as a band and what they do, so I'm like, I don't have to do one. It's not going to like change my life. It's not going to change their life, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
just got to enjoy it, innit?
Exactly. Enjoy it, innit?
Oh, mate, the summer's going to be good this year. I've got a feeling.
Yeah?
Got a feeling, man.
Optimism's back.
Looking out the window, and I'm like, yeah, let's fucking do this. But
I know. It's just live music. I just can't. I need it back in my life, as we all do. But I see you've got a show at the end of the year, haven't you? Is it Chicago?
Yeah, I got a show. I've got a festival in Pennsylvania, which is like near New York,
right,
and also a show in Chicago. I just had a booking for Leeds as well in the UK. And I think that's it at the moment. They're slowly coming in, slowly, but we're not really rushing back. Just kind of, I don't want to like go to like America and tour in like one or two places and nowhere else can rave. I'm like, I'd rather the whole country be able to rave and kind of, I don't want to like just shove it in people's faces really, that like one place we're allowed to rave and the next place we're not. It just doesn't feel like right.
I know what you mean. I think even promoting music and saying it's quite a weird territory, isn't it? Because obviously we're in a pandemic and there's crazy things going on left, right and centre.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird.
Things does feel weird, does feel strange, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's also that other side of it, the kind of like selfish side of it. It's like, well, we've been in this for like over a year. We need to fucking crack on.
Yeah.
And like so many people are just like suffering out of it. It's fucking, it's weird, mate. This is literally like kids are going to be taught this in their history lessons in like 50 years time.
It's madness.
But we've got out of it pretty good considering this is kind of the worst thing that's happened in history since World War II.
So we got out lucky.
We got out lucky.
Definitely.
Yeah, but I don't know what's next, really, man. I don't know. We need to write some more music. We should go away to a studio and just, like, write.
Definitely, I'm down. That Analog.
Devon Analog. We could go down there.
Yeah, man. It's a crazy synth collection.
Oh, man. Tristan down there. I really want to get him on the podcast and he keeps on swerving it, motherfucker. but I just like, yeah, the synth collection there is amazing. It was really nice to go in London and just like write with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't written, as you can tell, my studio is like a right mess.
Yeah, I was going to say your speakers aren't normally there.
No. So this whole desk is going.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm getting a stand here for my synths.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
And the big speakers are getting linked up again.
Oh, nice.
I bought like a few things for the studio. So I bought like a MIDI kind of sync box that I can, so I can sync everything up. So I can like build a project out of Logic. I nearly said Ableton then. And then just like go, I want my Moog. So let's put the Moog on. I want this, I want that.
Yeah, everything is just accessible. Switch of a button.
Literally, like, yeah.
What are you doing at the moment? Pulling cables out and...
Well, I had decorators in my house, so it all got decorated. So I brought it all down. I like unplugged everything and kind of put it all over my house and in my parents' house. But it's just like cables and suitcases and synths like everywhere. Mm. Like, I don't have a kitchen table right now. It's all just covered in synths, which is annoying. And the stands were supposed to cut. I bought the stands on this website and they were like, yeah, you'll get them within 2 to 6 days. And then they messaged me like a week later. I didn't have them, and I messaged them and was like, what's going on with the stands?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh yeah, you won't get them till the 30th of April. And I'm like, what?
Bit of a difference. Yeah.
And then I bought like a studio monitor kind of controller, like almost like a Big Knob, but not. I bought a Drawmer, And they did the same thing. Like, their website said it was in stock. And I was like, when's it coming? And they were like, oh, we don't have any at the moment, so we've got to find out from the manufacturer. And I'm like, what the... And it's the same with the MIDI thing. And I'm just like... But no, two different sites.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no wonder Amazon just like takes over everything, because they're just so good at getting it to you when you want it or when you need it. Like, yeah, before Amazon, we used to have to wait like ages to get things. And now Amazon's kind of created this amazing convenience that you get it the next day, and now waiting for something.
But I ordered something in the morning.
Really?
And it came the same day. I can't believe it. It was madness.
That's because you live in a town, isn't it? It's because you live in a town, you can get that.
Yeah, maybe.
That's amazing. Have you been to an Amazon shop yet?
No.
So they do like Amazon grocery stores and like supermarkets, where they're more like corner shops, right, where you go in, you scan your barcode, which is on your Amazon app, and then you literally just take stuff off the shelves and walk out. You don't even like pay for it.
No way.
Ridiculous. They've got one in London, but I went to one in San Francisco, and it just like, yeah, it's technology.
That sounds crazy.
It's mad, dude. Like, proper mad.
So you go in, you're just taking items, you just scan it on like a QR code kind of thing.
Yeah, so you walk into the shop, and it's got like, you know, like when you go into like the underground and you've got the gates that you have to scan your ticket in, and yeah, it kind of opens up and you go through. It's got similar things to that. So you scan your like QR code and you go through, and then you literally just go and pick anything you want, put it in your bag, put it in your whatever, and just leave.
That's mental.
Like, you don't even have to scan the item. You just... I don't know how it works. I really don't know how it works.
It's mental.
But it's just like, how good would that be, not having to queue up for a checkout?
I know.
In future.
Yeah, it makes you think, yeah, what it's going to evolve into. You know, if all this is happening now, it wouldn't be long till like everything is like it, I guess.
Yeah, it's going to...
Technology is just getting crazy now, isn't it?
So many people are not going to have jobs.
Yeah. AI is just gonna be doing everything.
The computers are just going to take over, man. It's fucking... Yeah.
AI robot or something.
Yeah. Do you reckon it will ever get to that point where like... the world is just like overtaken, not overtaken, but like everything is robotic. Like, if even like Teslas now, you don't have to drive the Tesla. You just like put where you're going and it drives for you.
Does it really? I didn't know that.
It's wild. I was driving. Where was I driving? I was driving from London the other day, and I drove past a Tesla, and there was two people in... It was so weird. There was two people in there.
With his hands, his legs up.
You know when like someone's eating and driving, they've got like their hand on the wheel and they're like putting something in and then putting it down and like just kind of being a bit sensible. This dude was literally can in one hand, sandwich in the other hand, no hands on the steering wheel, talking to whoever it was whilst eating. I was like, this is ridiculous that you can do this. But yeah, they drive themselves.
Well, they turn. Surely it's like just like an autopilot. It doesn't turn and stuff as well, does it?
It does everything.
That's madness.
If there's white lines on the road, I'm pretty sure that's how it does it. So it kind of, yeah. If there's traffic lights, if there's everything, it just does everything. You don't even have to...
Just go to sleep.
Yeah.
And it would just take you there.
There's like videos on YouTube of like people being asleep in their Tesla whilst it's going. I think that's pretty illegal, but it's definitely happened.
So yeah, things like that definitely make me think that robots are going to take over the world.
What's your thoughts on robots making music? I heard something crazy the other day, and yeah, it was like, wow, this is pretty good.
It's one of the big companies are already kind of doing it, aren't they? Or coming up with ways to, yeah, for robots building music. It's all...
Yeah.
I don't really know much about it, to be honest, but what was your...
that I was listening to Joe Rogan the other day, and he like they were like playing some remakes that a computer had made for of like Amy Winehouse. So what they did, I think they put like, I think somebody had put MIDI chords in, and then the AI had picked out all of Amy Winehouse's like words that she's ever sang, and then put them together to make a new song.
Mental.
And you're just like, and it sounded pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah. Scary, isn't it? We're all doomed.
We're all fucked, mate.
Oh, dear.
But then you're like, no one can. Someone recreate like feel, like yeah, like the or like the like what, like if let's just like generic, you're writing about a breakup. No one's ever experienced you at that feeling. Like no, like although everyone can relate to that experience and that feeling,
yeah,
no one has felt what you felt ever because it's your feelings. Mm-hmm. So can AI capture that feeling?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Mm.
We're.
I was thinking like maybe statistically, like they'd pull up all the hit songs and find like you know yeah. like what a match, and then just be able to. You know, the formula.
Like the formula, yeah. Goes yeah. back to that formulaic.
But yeah, what you're saying about like emotion and yeah, I don't think so.
What's your thoughts with music at the moment? Like, I've been thinking about this a lot because I'm like, there's no real like rock bands going on at the moment. Like, I know there's lots of rock bands out there, and if you're in a rock band and listening, I'm sorry. But there's no like Kings of Leon. There's no Arctic Monkeys. It kind of feels like we need one.
Yeah, definitely.
What's your thoughts on like the music scape at the moment in time? Like, because when you listen to the radio, I'm like, this. I sound like my fucking parents, like back in the day.
It doesn't feel like anything's. There was just that legendary era of music, wasn't there? In all of it, hip hop, R&B, rock, Oasis, and things like that.
Yeah.
Like now I can't, well, I don't know. You've got your Billie Eilish's and all the pop stars, I guess. But I can't really pinpoint, like you said, like any like proper rock band or anything like that.
No, it's like almost like gone under that. Like rock's just not cool anymore.
Mm.
There needs to be one though. But I don't know. I don't know if the market will allow it to happen. I just don't know because I think the way we listen to music is very different nowadays. Like, I know there's people that release only on TikTok.
Really?
They release on TikTok and, well, I don't know them, but I've heard of them. They release on TikTok or, like, Triller before anything else just to kind of get into the, like, 12 to 15-year-old kind of camp.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be...
The full songs... There's a way to listen. I thought it was just.
Oh, like, no, I think it's just clips. I think it's just clips. But I think what you do is you run it through a distributor. So the full song goes on there and then they get to choose which part of the song they put on their video. You know, like when you're doing a story on Instagram and you can kind of put music to it. It's, and then you choose what part of the song.
Right.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I heard Spotify were initially doing it. I could be wrong, though. But I heard with, like, ambient music, because it does so well on Spotify, I heard that Spotify were trying to make an AI that would make ambient music so they didn't have to, like, pay the artist. And they would just, put all of their own playlists as, like, chill out music and it would just all be Spotify AI music. I think they failed though.
Hopefully. But
yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. Would you ever want to be in a band?
Yeah, so I've got a few mates that are in bands and it does seem cool. You know, I've always wanted to have like a group of people that just, you know, I can make music with and have fun and do whatever. But I think there's a lot behind the scenes
that you don't see.
You don't see a lot of arguing and stuff like that. But I think that most of all, it's pretty fun.
It's egos, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the thing. Yeah. And I think that's like, let's say for instance, like Coldplay, how Chris Martin did it. That is his name, isn't it? Chris Martin.
Martin, yeah.
How he like splits everything equally. So there's not like one songwriter that just makes all the money compared to, there's like Oasis, say for instance, like Noel
is coming. Yeah. Noel's getting that check.
Noel's making, I know Google's not always right, but I Google like Noel's worth like 65 million and Liam's worth like 7.5 million.
Really?
And you're like, wow, there's, let's be honest, they're both okay and they're both doing very well.
Yeah.
But there's something about that where you're just like, I don't know. When you're in a band, you kind of got to look after everyone. And then I feel like there'd be much more longevity in it all.
I'm surprised with the Chris Martin, actually, that they, I don't know why, because he's quite a nice bloke, but he gets quite a lot of stick, doesn't he, Chris Martin?
I think he gets a bit of stick for just being a bit of a, like, I don't know, a bit of a lemon.
Yeah.
But he seems a nice guy.
Yeah. Great songwriter.
Great songwriter.
Great songs.
And he's like not technically the best singer in the world, but he's like is a great performer.
Yeah.
As well.
I've seen them live at Glastonbury actually. Mm.
He it's just like knows great. How to work a crowd, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, it was magic. It was mental. Everyone had the lights on their
wrists. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And who else was there? Adele.
Oh, man. Adele and
that was crazy.
Yeah, I bet she was amazing.
The contrast between her speaking in between singing. Because it's so funny. Like, it's the whole package. And then she'll just sing the most, you know, beautiful song ever. Everyone's crying. And then 2 minutes later, she's like, fucking hell. But it's just, you know, what makes it her is great. But
yeah, it's amazing. Especially being, like, because I don't think any other culture will kind of understand like where she's from and like how she talks and how it's different to like what you expect. But it's just funny and being English, isn't it? And like hearing her accent and knowing like where she's from, and like, but then sings the fucking most amazing songs ever.
Yeah,
she's had imagine having a career like that.
Yeah. But her first album was it 21 or 19? I can't think.
19, 21, and 24, wasn't it?
Yeah. And some of the songs, they're just amazing. I don't know how anyone can even think like that when they're that age.
Yeah. Yeah. She did amazing. Just trying to think. Like, I think there was a statistic that every household in the UK had a copy of her album. That's really? How many albums she sold.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable.
I don't know anyone that doesn't like her music.
No. And if they do, I don't trust them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not right.
Like, how can you not? Like, everyone's cried to an Adele record at some point in their life.
Yeah, definitely.
Facts.
Facts.
And if you haven't, you're a pussy.
I'm worried about you, yeah.
Yeah.
Literally.
What are you doing the rest of the day, man? You got a day off?
Yeah. I don't know. I've got the push too. I'm probably going to have a play on that.
Oh, mate, do you like bacon sandwiches?
Do I like bacon sandwiches?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Sorry, this is a very random, like, move away from what we were just talking about.
I'm interested.
There's this place in Bristol called Wilson's Bakery. We need to go.
I've seen the picture actually.
It's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, it looked mental. What sauce was that? It was like a
brownie barbecue sriracha kind of sauce.
Yeah, it looked pretty mad.
Let's go. I don't know when they're open because I went there the other day and they were closed. Shit. Drove to Bristol.
Where is it?
Just off White Ladies Road.
Right.
In Bristol.
Yeah, when it's open, we need to make it happen. Let's go.
You kind
of made me want bacon, though.
Sorry?
You kind of made me want a bacon sandwich, but yeah. I've already had Domino's for breakfast.
Yeah, you texted me this morning going.
Yeah. I would get up, but I'm eating pizza in bed.
What's rock and roll come to, mate?
I know.
No hangovers, no women, just pizza.
Just pizza.
What is going on? COVID lockdown. That's what it is, mate.
I hope so. That's the excuse.
That's the excuses we will make.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was at the gym this morning. I put a new blackout blind in my bedroom, and my days is amazing. Like, not a single bit of light goes through my bedroom now. It's so nice. I can sleep.
Do you find you're waking up later though?
Well, today was the first time that I had it.
Yeah, of course.
I woke up at like 4:30 in the morning for an hour and was like, I have to go back to sleep. And then I woke up like 2 minutes before my alarm went off this morning. But do you set an alarm?
Yeah, I'm pretty bad because sometimes I have to be up at like 5 a.m. and stuff like that. So I set it for like 4:59.
Yeah.
Just kind of roll out of bed.
I have to do like a morning ritual. I can't just like roll out of bed. I wish I could. I like have to like get up and either train or shower and like just compose myself for the day.
Yeah, it is definitely the better way to do it. When I say I can't do it, but I do do it, if that makes sense. I'm not very good at it. I roll out of bed and I'm in the worst mood and I can't speak going on for about 20 minutes. But yeah, I wish I had a bit of a morning ritual and could wake up and do things, make a coffee, but I don't.
I wish I liked coffee.
Yeah, it's good.
I really wish I liked it. Oh, man, we should do something this week.
Let's do it.
Are you off a week?
I'm not sure, because I am supposed to go back to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I don't know how I'm going to get there. It's in Oxford. And they're already there. So I might just take it upon myself to have the week off, but...
I leave maybe Wednesday. We could do something.
Yeah,
I'm getting a haircut. First time in like since December the 23rd.
How's it looking?
Mate, it's wild.
Mullet.
Yeah. It's like.
I don't think you can get to see.
But like, yeah, I can see it. Yeah.
I think I'm just going to shave it all off.
What? Fully?
Yeah.
Bold. Do it, mate. I reckon it'll suit you.
Well, no one really sees it anyway.
Beard and head.
I'm keeping the beard. The beard's staying.
Yeah, don't shave your beard off. That would be harvested.
Even the beard is like really fucking long at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's mental.
It's like.
Yeah, it's really long. Anybody that's listening, I just put my beard over my face.
I think you could. Do you reckon you could tie it around your head?
The beard?
Yeah.
Nearly. It's nearly. It's pretty. Man. Pretty wild.
I didn't grow a mustache.
Yeah, you just go out in the wind and it blows off.
Literally.
You've got a good head of hair though, man.
Yeah.
The mullet is there as well, isn't it?
The mullet is in full force.
Are you going to grow it out?
I've got attached to it now, yeah. I don't think I'm going to cut it.
Yeah, just keep growing it out. We've got a family friend who moved to New Zealand like, I think about a year and a half ago. No, 2 years ago. And he's just like, gone full on Australian mullet and it's awful. Like, it's fucking awful. Saw him on Instagram the other day and was like, I don't know what it is over in Australia. I don't think it's really a New Zealand thing. I thought it must be because he's over there, but a lot of Australians have mullets. And I'm like,
yeah,
do you think you look good? Because you really don't.
I had a friend that went over there and did the exact same thing as the mullet, but his did look quite cool actually. But it is funny how everyone goes over there and it's just like, I'm just free, you know, let my hair grow.
Free to look like an absolute dickhead. I met a mate from in London the other day and that I used to work with in Ibiza, and we were talking about the Ibiza fashion back then and how like everyone wore that. Can you remember that advert, the 118 advert?
Yeah.
With those like
white vest.
Yeah, white vest and the tiny running shorts.
Yeah.
Everyone in Ibiza was wearing those.
The little shorts and the shit shirts as well, wasn't it?
Exactly. And you're just like, it's so funny how fashion people think they're cool by like being in fashion, but they're just like, it's just like copying everyone. In situations like that, you're just wearing what everyone else is wearing, which is not actually that cool.
Yeah, no, you're right. But I have to, I must say, I think I did go through that phase.
Did you have a pair of those shorts? I definitely did. You definitely did.
I don't know if I had the shorts, but the shit shirts, I'd still wear them now, actually. Shit shirts are still cool. Is that what they're called? Shit shirts?
I don't know. They're like Hawaiian-y old shitty shirts, aren't they? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, see, they're cool. But now the shorts, I don't think I did. Like the nylon, I know what you mean. Like the, yeah, no, I didn't, no.
I've got a pair because I did a fancy dress party and I went as the 118.
Yeah, okay, fancy dress.
But I don't fucking, I've never worn them out in public.
Mm. But when was your first year in Ibiza?
2000 and... My first time going to Ibiza was 2006.
Right.
My first, I did like a month and a half, 2007, and 2008 was my first full year. And then right. My last one was 2020, I think.
Right, I see. Well, did you play there in 2020?
2008. Sorry, no. 2008, Sorry, my brain is ticking. 2008, I was resident at Orange Corner. 2009, I was resident at Orange Corner. Halfway through 2009, I went to Kenya as resident. 2010, I was resident at Kenya. And that was it.
Jeez. It was a few years on the trot, though.
Yeah. Yeah, not many compared to some, though, but I realised I was like, I need to get the fuck out of here to make a career out of music.
Yeah.
Like, you don't make a career in music in Ibiza as being a resident.
You're just a lot of partying and...
Well, it's just a lot of working. You're just playing for, like, 12 hours a day. And I also had another job recording DJ sets for, like, a production company. So we'd record DJ sets. So every Sunday we would do We Love Space. So we'd be in the club for like, it was open for 24 hours. And we'd be there for like 12 hours of that, just recording DJ sets. And then we'd do Cream every Thursday night as well. So yeah, it was just like, I didn't do any partying. I used to drink then, and I would drink twice a summer, and once at the beginning and once at the end.
Just, really?
Yeah, I was working like 18-hour, 20-hour days, 7 days a week.
That would make me want to drink more.
Just didn't have time. Didn't have time because I had my car over there as well, so I was driving everywhere.
Right.
But yeah, it was just like non-stop all the time.
Is that how you got into, like, how did you get into making dance music or being into it, like...
I got into it when I was like 9. Right. And then I did like an academy course called a DJ Academy when I was 12/13.
Mental.
In Bristol. And it's now Slug and Lettuce, but it used to be called Fiesta Havana. Like every Monday night there was like probably about 30 of us. We'd go and you'd be split into like groups, and one was like the advanced, one was like medium, and then one was like complete beginners, like never touched decks. And I was in like complete beginners. And it wasn't just learning how to DJ. It was like learning how to promote, learning how to book DJs, learning how to like design flyers. It was just kind of like a bit of the whole package. Being a DJ back then, it's very different now, of course, but it wasn't social media then or anything. It was, and it was still vinyl. There wasn't CDJs at all then, I don't think. And then around that time, I saw Faithless Live as well, and I was like,
crazy.
I was like, that's what I need to do, and went to
Life Engine.
Yeah. Went to college, did music technology, and then moved to Ibiza in the summers during college. And yeah, it was like, I should probably do this. But I didn't really take it seriously until I was like 18, maybe even longer than that. Because I thought I was writing music at like 14, but right. I didn't have a fucking clue what I was doing.
Yeah.
And then even at 18.
Like producing, you had the software and stuff.
Yeah, I had Cubase.
Right.
But I didn't have a clue what I was doing. Like, not one bit. And then 18, when I was in Ibiza, I had like a little studio in my bedroom and like probably wrote one record all summer.
Yeah.
And then when I'd left Ibiza, I was like, I need to really like, I need to make something of this. So that was like early 20s. I would have thought I would have started to take producing proper serious.
Yeah.
And then that took probably 4 years of just like, I remember splitting up with my ex and being like, okay, I have to just lock myself away for a year and just work and like not have any distractions, like no girlfriends, no like going out, like literally just like solid in the studio every single night, because I was still working full time then as well.
Yeah.
And just do everything I needed to do to be able to like tour, really.
Mm-hmm.
Just constantly. Yeah. And then kind of Big Booty came out 2004, I believe. No, 2014.
Yeah, I remember that when that came out, just a video, it went kind of viral, didn't it? Was it MK playing it or something like that?
Jamie Jones, yeah.
I remember that just kind of being everywhere. I think that was Facebook, when Facebook was kind of one, wasn't it? Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it's mad. I remember the girl who'd posted it, and mates of her. But, yeah, it was like, you think you're going to make it from then, don't you? Like, when, like, one person plays your record, and you're like, oh, shit. I'm going to be famous, and then you very quickly realise you're not going to be.
Yeah, I think, so was that your first, did you have anything with Dirty Bird or anything by then? Or was that literally, that kind of put you up there, didn't it?
Yeah, that came out on Worthy's at label Anabetic. And, like, everyone was playing that. MK was playing that. Jamie was playing it. Seth Troxler was playing it. Eats Everything was playing it. And that was, like, when they were, like, the shit. Obviously, they're still the shit now, but they were, like, the new kids on the block, just like destroying everything.
But then
after that I had my first release on first release on Dirty Bird 2015, and then I had like three EPs on Dirty Bird that year, 2015. And the rest is history.
The rest is history.
And now we just released Place I Belong.
That's it.
Go check it out on your local download store. Yeah, what do you think of the video? What do you think of the video?
Amazing. Really cool, yeah. I think before, like when I was just kind of reading the story, it kind of, you know, I felt I was into it then. And then, yeah, obviously seeing it come to life.
Yeah.
I think everyone did an amazing job. It's really great.
Yes. I haven't even like checked out how well it's doing. Have you? I haven't seen it.
No. I've been out a bit of a...
Let me pull it up now. If anyone's hasn't watched it, you can go watch the video on YouTube. Place I Belong.
We broke the internet.
No, we didn't break the internet. But it's all good. We don't need to break the internet. It's out there.
Yeah, exactly. It's what it's about.
Yes. I do love this video.
It's great. It's really good.
Yeah, it's great. I think it's
that last shot with the flower on the last drop.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I just realised I boozed up the link for it as well. in the comments, I boozed up the link massively. I need to change that. Oh, I'll change that when I come off. I'm sure no one's clicked it.
That's all of them.
Yeah, man. Right, dude, we've just done an hour. Let's wrap this motherfucker up. Thanks for coming on. How can people follow you on social media and all of that?
Ollie Norton Music on Instagram and Facebook, or on Spotify, Ollie Norton.
Go follow him, people. Dude, big love. Thank you so much for being on the record. And I'm sure I'll see you later on in the week.
Yeah, man, definitely. Love Thanks you. For having me on.
Take care, big man. Love. See you soon, man.
Peace.
And that is a wrap. Loved it. Hope you did. Please share it. Please subscribe. Please do all of the good bits if you want. If you don't want to, then don't bother. See you next time, people. Keep safe.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.